Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you. I am so happy that you tuned into Prophecy Alive. I am your host, Roderick Owensby, and this broadcast is a prophetic broadcast bringing deliverance and healing to people around the world. Listen, no matter what you're facing, God has already done what you are expecting him to do. Listen to me very closely. God has already performed that which you are expecting him to perform. And I want you to know that God is a spirit, or better yet, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And whoever comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say, the Holy Spirit and Queen Katrina were praying. Today, the Holy Spirit began with Matthew 25. You know, I preached this word at 14 years of age when I preached my first public message in my public ministry at 14 years of age. And since then, God has given so much clarity to this revelation of the 10 virgins. And I'm also going to be taking your calls, and I believe that miracles happen every day, every second. And there is a divine energy that I'm sensing by the power of God. You that are sick and you that need a miracle, I have nothing to give you but Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus can heal. He can set free. He's already done it on the cross. And I want you to believe God. You could feel free to call Prophecy and speak with me at any time during the broadcast. 347-539-5173. And when you press 1, I'm going to be able to talk to you by my good friend, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is divine energy that God has given us after Jesus came and he died and he was buried. He rose again. He led the captive and he gave gifts unto men. I believe in walking in the supernatural power of God. I believe that your finances are coming supernaturally. I believe that your miracles are supernatural. Don't put your trust in people. People will let you down. And don't be upset. That's their nature. But put your trust in God. And when you put your trust in God, I promise you, God will do above all that you ask or think according to the power that works in you. What power? The power of which is Jesus Christ. He is the power of God unto salvation. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. So trust in him. Believe in him. You know, most people that I have associated with believe, as we were taught, about Jesus could be coming in their generations, and your grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, and beyond. Yeah, years before you came, people believed that it was in their generation that Jesus will come, and they believed that they would be around when the rapture and when Jesus will come. Well, the generations before me and the generation before that and preceding generations, going back to the days of Jesus as Jesus walked the earth, have also said this. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Many foolish things have been said and done in this time and even in time past, but it does not negate this grand event. Anyway, Jesus told us many times in the Word of God that he would return. So I believe he shall return. Now listen to this. His disciples, on one occasion, the disciples of Jesus wanted to know about such things. And as they were departing from the temple at one time, they pointed to the buildings. They pointed those buildings out to Jesus, but he said that it would all be thrown down. And when they were in private, they asked him about his return. Now look what Jesus said, Matthew 24. And Jesus left the temple, the courtyard, and was walking away. His disciples came to him, and they proudly pointed out to him the temple buildings. Jesus said to them, listen closely, you see all of these buildings, don't you? He said, I can guarantee this truth. Not one of these stones will be left on top of another. Each one will be torn down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, they said this, listen, people, they said to Jesus, tell us, when will this happen? They wanted to know. They were curious. They heard the teachings of Jesus. They heard him expound about his kingdom. They said, well, Jesus, tell us, what will be the sign that you are coming again? And I know many of you have heard, if you grew up in church, you've heard that Jesus was coming. And you've heard that he's coming back any day now. And so many of you got saved because you were scared that Jesus was going to come and catch you in something. I know I did. The coming of Jesus was like when my parents left us siblings, and there's a lot of us, eight at home, and altogether seven and three girls. Now the ones at home, we were afraid not to obey our parents, but we wouldn't clean up or fix our beds or take out the trash. Each of us had a particular assignment, you see. And Dad and Mom told us, this better be done when I get back. But we would play around. Yeah. We would play around and we would do what we wanted to do. And then we could time our parents. And just when we thought they were coming, then we would hurry up and clean up our rooms and wash the dishes and straighten up the house, you know, because when Mom and Dad came home, it better be smelling good. The floor better be swept. And, you know, Mother Gertha Ornsby, she would look in every corner. You know, it's like she had an invisible white glove, and she knew if we had obeyed what she and Dad told us to do. But we would wait till the last minute to do it. Some of us are still like that, believers. We are trying to wait until the last minute. We've heard Jesus was coming. Generations before us heard it. And we, you know, people used to have fear about that. And they would be scared. Come on, thunder would roar, thunderstorm, and we would turn up the TV and we would pray because, you know, Grandma said and that God was working. Come on, y'all. God was working. So we had more respect, another word for fear. So one of those times, we didn't time mom and dad good enough. You know, we thought we had mama and dad down pat. But one time we messed up and we got in big trouble because mother and father came through the back door. Glory to God. And we had nothing done. This story I'm going to share with you is similar. Jesus answered, and he told his disciples, he said, be careful not to let anyone deceive you. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is coming, but we must understand the coming of the Lord. God is awakening up his bride. There's a Greek word, parousia, is where we get the word arouse. God in this time is arousing his bride. Don't you want to be aroused by the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to be right back, and we're going to continue this powerful, powerful lesson. The 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Choose. Are you going to be the wise, or are you going to be the foolish? I'll be right back after this. Breathe on Us by Kari Jobe. Breathe on Us. Don't you want God to breathe on you? I know I do. We have to have the presence of the Lord. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was given to us to prepare us. The Holy Spirit is that life of the Spirit, that oil. So here, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he told them, he said, concerning the buildings that the disciples pointed out to Jesus, he said, each one of these stones, not one of these stones would be left on top of another. And each one would be torn down as Jesus was sitting by the Mount of Olives. The disciples came privately and they said, tell us, when will this happen? You know, they always wanted to know when something was going to happen. And so many times in the body of Christ, we are so spiritually curious. But see, there's an old saying about a cat, curiosity killed the cat. We get so involved in wanting to know this and that instead of preparing. Now, see, Jesus began to tell them, he said, don't let no man deceive you. Matthew 24, 1 through 4. Jesus began to warn his disciples not to allow anyone to deceive them. There's a reason for that. Now, so many times the body of Christ are looking at each other as, you know, like the disciples did at Jesus, his supper with them before his death. And they was wondering, is it I? Is it I? Am I going to betray you? They didn't have a relationship that was so secure with God at that time. They didn't know whether they believed him or would they betray him. We know about Peter. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Thomas doubted him. All of them left when Jesus was taken and preparing to be crucified and give his life as a ransom. Notice this. So many times Christians look at each other and they wonder, are you a wolf in sheep clothing? And especially if you have an anointing. Sometimes the anointed vessels are treated worse than those that don't have. And the reason for that is because those that really don't have a depth in the spirit, they are not a threat. Come on here. So those are accepted. But if you got a radical word, if you got an anointing that destroys the yoke, the people of God are wondering, are you real or not? Praise God. So it's a deceptive spirit to say, Don't do anything that's going to shake anything. You just clap your hands in church and you just dance like us. You shout like us because that's the way we can identify you. You remember when Peter denied Jesus, they knew who Peter was by his ways, his language. And they even said he looks like one of those Galileans. And Peter got indignant. He got upset. And he began to curse, and deny Christ. So many times you got to watch the spirit, the sneaky spirit of Antichrist. You notice it's called Antichrist. Christ means the anointed. This is why Jesus said to Peter, flesh had not revealed the revelation of who I am to you, Peter. This was done by the Holy Spirit. This was given to you by heaven. And Peter said, thou art the Christ and the Son of the living God. Those words may sound simple, but at that time, it took a revelation because Peter understood by revelation who Jesus was. So many times in the body of Christ, we need to understand in order for us to not be deceived by an Antichrist spirit, that word Christos, Christ, means anointed one. And I believe that the devil, a religious spirit, has given a new meaning to the anointing. Now the anointing is how well your church look. Now the anointing is what kind of clothes you have on. Now the anointing is how many people go to your church and do they all have a good job? And do you, come on, y'all. Listen, or personalities. But the anointing of God destroys the yoke. And Jesus said, now watch it. Don't be deceived. I'm going to, in 2 Timothy, the Bible talks about, let me turn to that because I want to read something to you for your hearing. Because I know your ears are not itching for what I have to say. You really want the word of God because I don't scratch ears. The words I speak are by the Holy Ghost. So let's go to 2 Timothy. I want to go here in my Bible. Let's look at this. It says here in 2 chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." No doubt about it. They're here. And this is a part of perilous times. Verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3. This is how you're going to know that we are in perilous times. He didn't start off talking about wars. He didn't start off talking about killing. He didn't start off talking about finances. He said this in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." My God, sounds like an atomic bomb, doesn't it? But he said something as cunning as this. No limitation. He didn't say this was not going to be in the church. This is to the body of Christ first. Listen. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Look at this, young people. "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers." People who really love to reveal secrets of someone else. Watch this. "False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." If there's something good about you, somebody's going to hate it. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people of God. Don't ever forget that it was the same people that Jesus ministered to . So we have to be very careful when it comes to the Word of God. And I'm going to show you how the same people who were celebrating Jesus, it wasn't too long, they said, "Give us Barabbas. Give us the thief and go ahead and crucify Jesus." I don't know why people wait until today to preach Jesus. Jesus has been pushed back in many places. But on Prophecy Alive, I want you to know that God spoke to my spirit. He said, "Tell my people, remind them of the 10 virgins." I mean, if you receive this word, it's going to bless you. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Jesus began to tell his disciples about the signs of the end time. And he began to share with them. And then he said, "Let no man," Matthew 24, "let no man deceive you." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are some of the signs of the end times. This is good news, people. One of the signs, verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." How are we going to know perilous times? "Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Whenever we are unthankful, we become unholy. "Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." This has to do with the Garden of Eden. This is why God said, "Do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." I want you to hear this. This is so important that we understand. It's so important. It involves the unwillingness to submit to God's word. You see, when Adam fell, the order in the universe was destroyed. Now listen closely. What we should never do, people of God, this is so vital that you hear this. What we, you and I, should never do is differentiate between good and evil. Rather, we should submit to God's authority. We don't have to decide between good and evil because that gives birth to reasoning. Look at good as a man or a woman, whatever you fit your boat, and look at evil as a man or woman, parents. So when good and evil get together, it's going to give birth to one thing, reason. And this is why the serpent knew if I could get God's creation to reason, then I can cause them to submit to evil authority, to the authority of Satan. That's why when it comes to God's word, don't try to defer between good and evil. Just submit to God's authority. We as human beings, we're so prone to look at good and evil, pros and cons. It's like we need to feel that something is good and or it's not good. It seems as if man's judgment is clearer than God. I want you to understand something. There is a spiritual condition of foolishness, and then after foolishness comes the fall. We have to remove that reasoning, that carnality, that we need to decide to obey God. It's better to obey God than man. Submission is obedience. Submission is willing. And Satan knew if I could get the woman not to submit to God's authority in the man, and the man not to submit to God's authority in God, then I have done what you see in the earth now. Satan was cunning. And so many people, even in marriages, so many women think that God is chastening them by requiring them to submit to a husband who is impossible to live under. There are many Christians who are still living in rebellion, and they have not learned even the basic step of submission. These same people, man or woman, won't have a problem to submitting to the law. They won't have a problem to submitting to the boss on the job. Submit to anyone, male or female now. No garbage here. But the issue is not male or female. The issue is obedience. Submission in the Word of God is submission to God's appointed authority. You know, there's so many shallowness when it comes to submission, even in relationships. I talk to so many women who all they talk about is their ministry. I talk to so many men, and all they talk about is their ministry. But God's first ministry in the earth was the family. And when we forget the order of family, we done just forgot the order of God. God didn't make a church first. He made a family. He made a man. He made a woman out of the man. Come on. So in order to receive from God, you see, the enemy is slick. And he does not want the family blessed. Now, let me clarify blessed. To some folk, especially in the churchdom, blessed is a car, blessed is a job, blessed is anything material. And you will hardly ever see people talk about love or anything spiritual. You know, serving God to get something. Praise God. And the question of submission, it is a principle of God's word. You can't get around it. It's God's principle that we ought to live by. We ought to conduct ourselves by God's principles. Every division and denominations of the church today, it comes from rebellion. Come on. In order to restore authority, submission must be restored first. You can't have authority without submission. God's submission is not grievous. So in order to have godly submission in the body of Christ, we must have the divine order of submission. Before authority, you got to be restored. restored. The authority cannot be restored without submission. This must happen first. So many of God's people are accustomed to acting as the head. It seems like they never known submission. You can't talk about submission, and you better not preach it, because you'll be called a male chauvinist. Because the New Age movement, the liberation, Jesus set us free. No movement can set us free. The cross made us free. The truth makes us free. Praise God. We must learn submission, and it must become our reaction to what God has put in authority. God has not hidden one thing, people, from us concerning authority in the church, whether direct or indirect. Here's close. God has revealed and shown us to submit to God's authority. So many people only believe they only know about submission to God, but they do not know about submission to authority. The scripture says, let every soul be subject to the higher power. Women, don't get upset with me. The higher power in your home is that man of God, that man. Now, whether you like it or not, you said I do. Praise God. God. Now, that men, your submission is God. It's to God. All authorities are from God. This is for God. Everyone has to submit to God's authority. Now, when the Garden of Eden came in, what had happened is reasoning and doubt, come on, came in. Why should I submit? You notice what God said when God said, who told you you were naked, to both the man and woman? Adam blamed the woman. The woman blamed the serpent. You see, when you don't submit to God, you find it to blame. And this is one of the fruit of lack of submission. You blame somebody. The man blamed the woman blamed the serpent. But nobody could blame anybody because everybody that was involved did not submit to God. And this is one of the things that causes divorce in the home. I mean, it's so easy to be deceived by the spirit of divorce. But it all comes from a lack of submission to God. It lacks submission to God. You know, we got a man now on television. He made himself famous by acting like a woman. Come on. And he's famous. I have nothing negative to say about that. But the principle of what I'm saying is, it's like as long as you are acting as if you are not what God made you, then you got a free pass. But when you stand up and be what God made you, then there's a problem. So the world is in rebellion against God's word. The home is in rebellion against God's word. Don't think because someone has been divorced that it's a result of anything less than rebellion with God on all parts. Some women are treated so bad until they rebel against the husband. Some husbands are treated so bad until they rebel against the wife. But they're really not rebelling against the wife. They're rebelling against God. The woman is really not rebelling against her husband. She's rebelling against God. I don't care any way you cut it. It's rebelling. Praise God. That's a good word. I know it tastes good. Praise God. I'll be right back, and I'm going to take a few calls, and then we're going to get back into Matthew 25 about these 10 virgins. Praise God. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. I know you want to be wise. We're going to get into that, and then I'm going to take a call. God bless you. I'll be back in just a moment. Prophesy. My God, endow me with the power of the Holy Ghost. That was Fantasia, Kiki, Coco, Faith Evans, and Lil Mo. Praise God. Thank God for that song. Something of that song originally done by the Clark sisters, I'm telling you. And God is so good, and he's worthy of all praises. Well, we're talking about the 10 virgins, and I'm going to... continue, and I am so excited about what God is doing. You know, and Jesus, he began to speak, and I was talking about how Jesus said not one stone would be left here, and he said, I'm coming again. He said, I'm coming again. Disciples said, tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign that you are coming again? And Jesus, he said, be careful that no one deceive you. Deception is the spirit that is the sign that Jesus was coming, is coming, and will continue to come. Now listen to this. Deception in the last days is a warning that we must take heed to, and that goes to especially believers in the body of Christ. If you're in doubt about things people are telling you, check their stand on the Lordship of Jesus. Ask them about his shed blood and physical resurrection. Inquire into their belief regarding his divinity. And you could soon tell the genuine if the person says that he or she was a great prophet. They speak of Jesus as simply being a great prophet, whether this is a man or a woman. He was a great prophet, but they denied the divinity of Jesus. You should avoid that person. If they don't place much emphasis on the efficiency of his atoning blood, warning bells should be sounding. You understand? Let me be clear. If they just said Jesus was just a good, he was a powerful prophet, true, and they deny his divinity, don't be deceived. if they don't believe in his atoning blood, don't be deceived. I want you to get this. And this relates to the sign of the coming of Jesus. He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But that is not the time. He said that there would be earthquakes, and we are witnesses and increase in earthquakes, tsunamis, and other natural disasters. But those things are not the determining factors. You understand? Jesus told us to look at two things, Israel and the church. Hear me. Israel and the church. Now, let's look at this in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Hear this. It says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Learn this parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, at the door. I assure you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If you look at Israel like a fig tree, this is a very good indicator. In 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. No other nation on earth has ever had such a thing happen to it. You understand? This is in 1948. And then the scripture says, and this gospel, this is what Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now watch this. Then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. Notice this. Jesus said that the generation that witnessed these things happening would not pass away until all of the things he spoke about happened. He returned. Now, I want you to look again at this now. Look at this with me. At what he said here. The good news about the kingdom will be spread throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Watch this. Now, what we got to notice here. Listen closely. He said that it is the gospel of the kingdom, not another gospel, not a denomination message of any kind. Paul said that if anyone preaches a different message, he is accursed. Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Look at this. Galatians 1 and 8. It says this. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. This is Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now, that's a heavy statement. That's heavy stuff, people. It behooves us to behold this, to ensure that we are preaching Christ and him crucified. It says here, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Listen now. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ or Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. I made up my mind that I was not going to, this is Roderick talking, that I'm not going to neglect the signs and wonders and the power and the demonstration of the Spirit anymore. Gotta go deeper. Now, because people need the demonstration and the power of the Spirit. And this comes from oil. And I thank God I have a lot of it. Watch this. Too much is made of everything. Emphasis is put on everything. But Jesus, traditions of men have watered down the truth, is hardly recognizable anymore. One reason for this is preaching of the gospel is to establish a testimony. This is why we preach the gospel of Jesus. It establishes a testimony or witness. Jesus did not tell us that the world would accept it, but that there would be no excuse by any in saying that they never heard it. This is why the gospel should be preached. And this is the purpose of the gospel being preached. Look at Ephesians with me, chapter 3, starting at verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Now look at this. This is heavy here. This is heavy here. And verse 10 says, I'm in Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 12. So that through the church, okay, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Verse 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Now, this is so important for us to understand. The gospel must be preached. If the gospel is not preached, then Jesus can't come. He can't come. So Matthew 25 is one of the most powerful illustrations that God began to reveal to me. Matthew 25, when Jesus was speaking about end times events, and he was alarming his people, his disciples, how to know the times and seasons, and he began to talk about this powerful chapter, Matthew 25. Listen to this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish, now listen, took their lamps. They had lamps. And took no oil with them. You know, you hear when you come to church, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. When you come, bring the fire. Well, that sounds good. But what is fire without oil? What is fire without oil? So the emphasis is bring your dance, bring your shout, bring everything. but the oil of the Spirit. I refuse to accept that tradition. So the foolish virgins, they took lamps, but they had no oil. But the wise, hear me now, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, all ten. But at midnight there was a cry made. Was the cry, behold, pay special attention to. That's what behold means. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all ten of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, the wise said, we need our oil. Some people are working in the body of Christ on borrowed oil, borrowed anointings of us, and they repeat it over and over and over. All denominations talk about their beginning. Church of Christ talks about Bishop Mason, and so on and so on. Each denomination, each sect talks about their prophet. I'm going to show you something. That's not going to do it. You can't be ready for the wedding on somebody else's experience. You will never be ready to meet Jesus on somebody else's testimony. I don't care how much you overcome by the word of their testimony. That's not talking about a testimony that somebody says of something they went through. The only testimony, you better hear this, the only testimony that we overcome is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It's his life. Why? He overcame. And it's his life that's in us, living and breathing and working through us, that enables us to overcome. So don't sit up and talk about, testify so I can overcome. No, listen, I got a great testimony, but that's not going to help you overcome. Praise God. The only testimony that's going to enable you to overcome is the testimony, the word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus, the first fruit of the brethren. Jesus overcame the enemy. He overcame death. He overcame hell and destruction. I don't care if somebody testified that they died and rose again. Praise God. But it's only one testimony. It's the blood-washed power of Jesus. He rose again. We got to stop waiting on a holiday to talk about this testimony. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses unto all the earth. In Judea, Jerusalem, Israel, every corner of the world. He said, you're going to be my witnesses. If all I go off of is your testimony, then I am your witness. And your testimony cannot save. It's the testimony of the New Testament, the Old Testament, he that died and rose again. We have a better covenant. I'm going to be very tender towards you because I want you to receive this. Praise God. I'm going to be right back in just a moment. Wait a minute before I go. I have a 404 area code. I'm coming to you right now. God bless you. Thank you for holding.
How you doing, Prophet?
Wonderful. How are you?
I thank God. I'm fine. I thank God that you're back and you're message tonight. It's really blessed my heart.
Praise God. It's so good to hear your voice again. And I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth. And we want to be ready. We want to be aroused. There's such a great anointing. And go ahead and share what's been on your spirit, woman of God.
I've just been having problems. With my marriage. And I just call in for prayer and just for just peace of mind. And just God to just move in my life.
Yes. Father God, I give you praise for this dear one. She's been so patient. I thank you for her spirit. I thank you for the anointing that's on her life. And Lord, I first of all, we acknowledge you. You are our Father. And you love us so much. And you know what we have need of before we ask. Now, this dear heart called, she's seeking the peace of God. In Jesus' name, and I decree the peace of God that Jesus already has given, that it will begin to rule in her heart in Jesus' name. Now, concerning her marriage, I say, like Jesus said, to the storm. I want to tell you, sister, you're in a storm, and I'm going to decree peace be in your house in Jesus' name. Now, you take that word. And you run with it, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Isn't that a blessing? Peace. I say peace to everyone that's listening. Praise God. I'll be right back after this.
Look out, come close.
I love this song. Yes. Yolanda Adams, Be Still and Know. No matter what you're going through, know this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. We're talking about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise in Matthew 25. 5 were foolish. And so, you know, when people try to tell you no one knows when Jesus is coming back, they're only telling you half truth, partially correct, but mostly taking without understanding this story. 10 women were about to be married. You know, in society, the man asks the woman to marry him, and they are then engaged. Hopefully, I'm old fashioned. They went to the parents and got permission from the father and mother, and they got engaged to be married. And then they have an appointment set aside to make the two one. You understand? And then they are married and they become one. This marriage takes place through salvation. Jesus is coming. Now, to be honest with you, which I'm known to be disturbingly honest sometimes, my Queen Katrina tells me, there are many ways that Christ comes to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ have not matured to the level to where they actually are conscious about a coming of God. Some people call it a move of God. The scripture says, now listen closely, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. St. John 14, 1 through 3. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then Jesus said this, listen closely, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now listen closely. He said twice, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I'm going to receive you, not at a place, but to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The bridegroom was preparing a place for his wife. They knew it. When he was ready, he and his friends would walk down the street of the town in a procession, accompanied with mirth, merriment, music, and laughter. It was a joyous occasion. Jesus told us that all 10, he said, all of the virgins, they slept. They were waiting to go. Now, 5 of the 10 virgins neglected something important, oil. The other 5 at least took some oil. They were all virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. While they all slumbered and slept, someone called out, he's here. Go out to meet him. All 10 virgins, listen closely. All 10 virgins awoke and tried to light their lamps. 5 had completely run out. The other 5 allowed the oil to get so low, they doubted if they would even have enough for themselves. All of them had said, yes, I will marry you, and now fell asleep, not prepared. Listen now. Even hear the noise of the approaching bridegroom with his entourage. When the bridegroom arrived, look what happened. He went into the appointed place with all of those who accompanied him. Only those people who were ready got inside, and the door was shut. Now the five virgins who were still in the building tried to get inside the place where the bridegroom was to be found. They asked him to open the door, and he refused. They blown it. In the essence, they said, "Who are you? I don't know you." My question I want to ask you, to my listeners, were they not all engaged to be married? And did they know what was happening? Yes, they did. This is what began to rattle me in a certain way when I began to meditate on this. The Lord asked me a simple question. Which group of people would you prefer to be with? according to this story, anybody would choose the wise. Who told them that the bridegroom had arrived? It was a watchman. Perhaps only one person was alert, tune in, and looking for the approach of the bridegroom. As soon as he turned around the corner down the end of the street, he called out, "He's here. Hear me in the name of Jesus." Wouldn't you rather be the watchman, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it. Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He noticed when he looked, his disciples were asleep. He said, "Could you not pray with me 1 hour? I'd rather be like the warriors for Gideon. I'd rather be a watcher." You understand? Most of the body of Christ, the church, is asleep. Spiritually lazy. Blessing seekers. Give me spirit. God wants to know tonight, to those that are ordained to hear me tonight and hear the Lord in me. Are you watching for the bridegroom? Are you watching for Jesus? We tithe, we go to church, we support ministries. This is commendable. But don't you want to be one of those who have oil or do you want to be the one that's watching and notice that Jesus is at the door? You can have oil and that's good. You need it for your lamps. But Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." It's in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is at the door. He doesn't want any of us to miss out on the marriage. He wants us to be ready. Things are changing. The changing of the guard. We no longer have the luxury of sleeping and doping off. Or playing church games, because Jesus is like that bridegroom walking down the street. We may not know the precise time or day to the second, but we will at last know the season. Praise God. Well, God bless you. I pray that this broadcast is a blessing to you. I'll be right back right after this. before we close out. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we have talked about tonight the parables of Jesus, mainly the wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25, and in Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares. And we have mentioned these things because we want you to be alarmed in the right spirit, not a fearful spirit, but to be spiritually equipped. The final analysis of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins is so important, even in the lessons of it, the lesson to be learned. For even if Matthew 24 pertains solely to the destruction of Jerusalem, you know, other passages in the New Testament teach the second coming of the Lord. And we need to be watchful for the great event. 2 Peter 3 and 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up." Now we got to understand something. When God is given a warning, he wants us to be ready. Now look at this. Verse 11 of 2 Peter 3 says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Verse 12, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells." So God wants us to be steadfast. Verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." So I want everyone to be encouraged by these parables and not humanly fearful. But there's a joy in this, believe it or not. Jesus is coming. No longer do we have time to play games. God has put an anointing on your life. Do it with all your heart. That consecration produces oil. Prayer produces oil. Fasting produces oil. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God has given everyone gifts. But you must turn your gift into a relationship. Peter walked past people. They were healed. Why? It was no longer just a gift. It was a relationship. Praise God. And when we do that and we become serious about God, then God begins to move. That divine energy is available to all of us. You know, it's not about, you know, people, so many people in ministry are caught up on who they know. They throw names, who they know, who has a big name or who has a degree. We get caught up on a crowd and we get caught up on so many things of the flesh, and Jesus is nowhere in sight. And it just, what it becomes, this is what we do instead of being a wise virgin. So I encourage everyone, me and my Queen Katrina, our household, the Gathering Ministries, the School of Prophets, it's about Christ. It's not simply of works. It's about the cross. It's about what God has done. There's no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. And let us not be caught up in the schisms and isms and traditions until we lose the focus. It's about Jesus. I encourage everyone, be a wise virgin and not a foolish virgin. Praise God. With your lamp and your oil, you yet got to watch and pray. Love you all so much. Our new schedule, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday. Now, this Saturday, my queen reminded me, I would not be on the air. I would be with my brother at Gospel After 5 and his lovely queen, Anastasia, and excited about what God is doing in Indianapolis at Gospel After 5. God bless you all, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Love you so much. Before I go, let me get this caller. I don't want to miss this caller. Praise God. 615. God bless you.
God bless you, Apostle. How are you?
Wonderful cousin. God bless you.
Starting to recognize my voice. God bless you. That was an awesome lesson. I didn't get to hear all of your messages tonight, but I tuned in while I could. Just wanted to call and encourage you and encourage your listeners. You know, take heed to what the prophet is saying, and definitely apply it, every principle, to your life. It'll bring life to your household. It'll bring life to, it'll resurrect the things that are dead in your life. And the only way that you'll get things resurrected is if something does die. So if you're going through some things, wow, if you're having some issues with your finances and you're having to die to some carnal or some carnalities in your life, don't worry, don't fret. Just be encouraged that by the Spirit they will be resurrected. You cannot have a resurrection unless something dies. And I really appreciate the message tonight on being ready, being diligent, you know, as the five wise virgins were, because one thing that we absolutely have to apply to our lives is a natural law called the law of exclusivity. That's the law of Matthew 6:33, making sure that we put the kingdom first. If the kingdom isn't first, yes, if you don't do it wholeheartedly, as in Jeremiah 29:11-13, there was a very encouraging scripture for those that were in captivity, but it included a wholeheartedness. And so same with Matthew 6:33. If we don't have a wholeheartedness about what we're doing, if we're walking things out through tradition, and we're walking things out just because, just like the children of Israel, the children in Malachi's time, that were just doing things because that's what their parents did, or that was the norm, but they didn't do it wholeheartedly. And if we don't do things wholeheartedly, God is very jealous. And if He's not first, if He's not the only source, then you're probably or likely not be ready when He comes. I just want to encourage you and your listeners. Thank you so much, man, for being obedient to the Spirit as you always are.
My cousin, ladies and gentlemen, this is my cousin, Ed Hook. I'm telling you, that word you just shared, people of God, this does not just happen with men and women of God. This is a divine assignment. My cousin never comes on until the Spirit of the Lord, and as He comes on, He always just gives an awesome word. Thank you, my cousin. And for those who have not listened, you can go to the archives of this broadcast and hear it. Tell your queen that me and my queen said hello, and thank God for you.
We'll do. Tell the family we said, hey, I'm really looking forward to us at some point all getting together, all of these great gifts and talents that the God has issued out amongst our family. So I look forward to it. I love you, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you too, cuz. This will happen. God bless.
God bless.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. God is so good. He's worthy of all praises. Praise God. Well, I'm so excited about this broadcast and continue to get into the parables. And they were all about the kingdom. And let's be kingdom-minded. We've been church-minded too long, and let's be kingdom-minded. And you're limiting yourself when you're just church-minded. I tell people the Gathering Ministries here in Kokomo is not a church. It's more than a church. It's a place of the supernatural power of God's Word, where the demonstration of the Spirit is. God bless you, and I look forward to talking to anyone around the world. If you have not given your life to Jesus and you want to know more about this, you could feel free to give me a call at 317-832-0131. That's my off-air line. You'll get directly to me. 317-832-0131. Got some powerful things coming up. with the ministry. I'm excited about what God's doing, and you all be blessed. This is Prophecy Alive. My Queen Katrina and I are praying for you. Stay in the supernatural presence of God.